Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 21 of Yins Are Good. This is a podcast that shares your stories of the people who have made your life better, who are making your life better. I am your host, Tressa Glover, and I'm so happy you're listening in. I have a few things I am very excited to share with you. First, remember how I told you that we were working on a public meetup of sorts where you can come and share a story or two with us? Well, grab your pencil, grab your pen, grab your electronic device. I have a date and I have a time. Are you ready? We will be at the Bloomfield Saturday Market on Saturday, June 5th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Hooray! So we will have a little tent, and you can look for our big yellow banner as well. So please stop on by. Actually, you should be stopping by anyway, because this market is awesome. It emphasizes locally grown, produced, created items. There are so many vendors. One in particular that we all love, Sprezzatura Italian Cafe and Catering. You remember Jen, of course, from episode 10. I know you do. So come on down or up or over to Bloomfield, a neighborhood very close to my heart, as you know, and support our local vendors and share some stories with us. Now, also, this episode drops on May 21st, and in 2 days, May 23rd, it will be 143 day in PA. What is this, you're wondering? Let me tell you. This is inspired by Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers himself. As you may know, Mr. Rogers used 143 as his special code for I love you, right? Each number represents how many letters it takes to spell each of those three words. So on the 143rd day of this year, the residents of the state of PA are encouraged to show small acts of kindness towards each other. That day, of course, being May 23rd. And actually, the PA state government even has a website promoting this, and they've expanded it this year to be a 3-day weekend of kindness starting on May 21st. And they would like you to go to your social media and promote your act of kindness using the hashtag 143day in PA. And actually, I'd like to take it one step further and ask, if you do that, go ahead and tag us at Yins Are Good so we can see all the good stuff you're doing and share it on this show as well. The idea being, of course, by sharing it, that hopefully you can inspire others to follow your lead and, you know, do some good as well. I think what I'm going to do is, I'm not sure what neighborhood yet, but I think I'm going to go and leave some quarters at parking meters, just tape them on there. And so folks who pull in, there'll be some quarters there to help them out. I think that's what I'm going to go with this weekend. And of course, we'll post it on our Yins Are Good site. And speaking of, we are on Instagram. We are on the Facebook. So if you don't already, follow us, like us, etc., please. All right. One more thing. Last episode, I shared with you that our dog, Hazel, sent me a card for Mother's Day. Well, since then, I received an email from her. Okay, so I'm going to read it to you. And it says, "Hi, Tressa. I'm glad you liked my card. I am quite smart, and I'm glad you gave me some credit and left open the possibility that, yes, your dog is capable of sending you a card. The lack of opposable thumbs made it exceptionally difficult to apply the stamp, let alone buying the stamp. Special thanks to our mailman for his help in that regard. I hope you enjoy your day. I'll be watching to make sure I can help make it as bright as possible despite the rain. Your favorite dog, Hazel. So she used opposable thumbs in her email. I told you she was bright. Indeed. You know, it's funny because she has a great poker face because she has given no indication of any of this correspondence during our day-to-day interactions together. None. And I'll admit, it was a little startling when I saw an email from Hazel come in, but it's very sweet and I love it. So thank you, Hazel, etc. And I will keep you all posted on any further communications. And so, what else is on tap here in this episode 21? Well, I am so happy to share with you my chat with the founder of Socks with a Mission, Audrey Wetteraw, and her mom, Amy. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I mention Audrey, the founder, is in the fifth grade? Yep. A fifth grade 501c3 founder. This young lady is going places, my friends. I'm telling you. She and her mom are such wonderful people doing such wonderful work, collecting and distributing socks to those experiencing homelessness. So I cannot wait for you to hear our talk. And also, we have a couple of your fill-in-the-blank responses to I want to congratulate blank for blank. And I have an email from a listener, and she's sharing the people who have changed her life for the better. It's awesome. And hey, should you want to send us an email for the same reason, or leave us a voicemail that we will play on the show, the email yinsaregood@gmail.com, or that toll-free number 833-399-GOOD. Let us know what's on your mind. Oh, and of course we have Name That Neighborhood. Don returning. How will he do? I wonder. We have so much. There's so much to do in this episode. So, without further ado, let's get to the good stuff. Okay, it is time to hear from you. First, let's congratulate some folks, shall we? So, as you may recall, this fill-in-the-blank is, I'd like to congratulate blank for blank. And Mike writes to us and says, I'd like to congratulate Will Graves for leading the Monroeville Baseball Association through all the COVID challenges of the last year. Yes. Congratulations, Will. That, I know, had to have been a huge task. And so, great job. And probably even now, it's still more difficult than usual. Awesome, Will. And Cookie says, I'd like to congratulate Debbie Gamis for being the best aunt ever. And 3 exclamation points after that, by the way. I love that. I love, and the fact that it's someone in your family that you feel so grateful for and are so happy to have had that person in your life and to continue to have that person in your life. That's fantastic. And now I'd like to share with you the email we received from Sarah. And she says, I just wanted to let you know I'm really enjoying your podcast out here in Ligonier, PA. My husband, son, Kat, and I moved out here to be closer to my in-laws in March 2020. I'm a part of Voluntats Pittsburgh, and when you featured Voluntats on the podcast, I started listening to previous episodes of the podcast and have been keeping up. I love this. So, Sarah, thank you so much, first of all, for all of the work you're doing with Voluntats. And listeners, if you haven't yet checked them out, of course, please do, especially if you have little ones who you'd like to get involved with volunteering and helping others at a very young age. Check out Voluntats. And thank you for your email, Sarah. Sarah continues to go on. I want to share with you people who have changed my life for the better. Megan Flynn of 1.1 Yoga in Garfield has done a fantastic job of creating a supportive, inclusive, really beautiful yoga community. I used to walk to her yoga studio when our family lived in Bloomfield. This year, the studio has decided to offer a practice called Resolve, which are weekly 15-minute meditations led by Megan on Friday mornings via Zoom. These Friday morning meditations are helping me stay sane and grounded during this pandemic and in this transition toward whatever the new normal is. I have to give a special shout out to Sadie Grossman, who has filled in and led several meditations when Megan isn't available to lead us. Dr. Diane Todd was my college English professor at Robert Morris University. After learning so much from her during my freshman year, she was a constant source of mentorship and friendship throughout the rest of my undergraduate and graduate studies at RMU. I am forever grateful for her advice and encouragement over the years. We've remained friends to this day, and she recently gifted my son with the book, The Small One, by Alex Walsh last Christmas. If listeners haven't read this book, Diane and I both highly recommend it to children ages 0 to 100. Jim Harley has been my friend for over 5 years. He was super welcoming to me when I started attending church at St. Lawrence O'Toole Church on Penn Avenue, then and now a part of St. Maria Goretti Parish. Jim always takes an interest in the younger adults who come to church and welcomes them with open arms and genuinely cares about their lives. He's a great friend who does a lot of good for the neighborhoods of Garfield, Lawrenceville, and Bloomfield. And last but not least, my friends Dean and Lauren, who live in Ligonier, PA as well. They have been so generous to give me a wooded oasis, basically an outdoor porch with a comfy hammock in the middle of their wooded yard, to retreat to when I need a break from motherhood. It is the best place to read and just soak up the sounds of nature. Oh my gosh, Sarah, you are surrounded by some pretty terrific people. And so, to Will, Debbie, Megan, Sadie, Dr. Todd, Jim, Dean, and Lauren, yins are good.
Hello.
Hi, Tressa.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
Good.
How are you this day?
Pretty good. Pretty good this day. It's beautiful out there.
It's gorgeous.
So it makes a difference.
It does. I feel like we earned it.
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Can you hear us okay?
I can. Hi, Audrey. Are you there too?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. How was school today?
It was good.
Yeah. That's good. Now, are you back? So how is school working for you? Are you there every day now?
We have 4.5 days of school. Today was my half day.
Oh.
And first days we have 4 days. So it's nice. I like being back at school.
Yeah, you do. When did you go back?
Well, there was like before there was like on and off being remote and not remote because of like COVID cases at the school. But now it's gotten a lot better. So we're how consistent, no remote or anything.
Yeah, that had to have been so tough.
Yeah.
You know? I always think for all of you, everybody in school, that just, it had to have been tough. So good job. So let's start. Audrey, if you would like to start off for us here, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself? Maybe how old you are, where do you go to school?
I'm 11 years old. I'm a fifth grader at Boyce Middle School. And I like to ride horses. We have a horse named Comet. And we're getting a new horse named Stan.
I love it. First of all, Comet's a great name, but Stan. I love that name.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, I help with all the socks with the mission stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
This is so exciting. So when are you getting Stan?
We're getting him in 9 days on May 21st.
Oh, my.
Yeah, not that you're countdown.
I was just going to say, not that you're keeping track or anything. Nine days.
Not keeping track.
9 days till Stan. That's awesome. So, Amy, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, I'm the proud mother of this young one here. But yeah, I'm from the Pittsburgh area. I was born and bred here, raised here. I was a Norwin Knight. And then went to Washington and Jefferson College and was here for law school, went to Pitt, and had a legal career here for a while downtown. I worked at Alcoa. And then had my older daughter, Emily, and became a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, kids, you never know what they're going to get you into. And so I'm a horse mom now. So learned, that was a you know, a J curve for me. That was a steep learning curve, but it's been a lot of fun. And now, of course, you know, just supporting Audrey with Socks with a Mission. So that's been a lot of fun and a learning experience too.
What a great, not just activity, but for something for the two of you to be sharing together as mother daughter.
Yeah.
You know, all the experience, right? Do you think? I think so, right, Audrey? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. I was just thinking that earlier. It's been really neat for me because, like, Audrey had her first public speaking engagement talking about SWAM, which is what we call Socks with a Mission here. And we got to do it together, and it was really fun. We put our speech together, right, Audrey?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we put our speech together and practiced and all that stuff. So it's nice. It's a great, I'm very grateful for the experience with her.
And so maybe, Audrey, if you would like to tell us, how did this all get started?
So I was going to a leadership academy that we do at my school, and one of my teachers, Mr. Wiseman, he was talking about his charity and his experience with the homeless, and I was really moved by that, and I wanted to do something. So I started talking to him, and we made a plan, and I came home that day, and I started making flyers and doing, like, all that stuff, planning lists, like, of what we're going to collect. And then we had a drive, and in a couple weeks, we had hundreds of socks and other items for the homeless.
Wow. So you were so inspired that very day you went home and started putting it all together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mr. Wiseman sounds awesome. If I may say that. I've never met him. He sounds it. Was there anything in particular that maybe he said to you or explained to you what it was that he was sharing with you that really inspired you to you know, take such action so quickly?
It was more just like, I never really thought of it like in that way, like, oh, I could do something. And I just feel like then I kind of just was like, oh, I can do something to help these people. And like, it wasn't exactly something that he showed me or like talked about. It's just kind of like, almost like clicked inside my mind that I could like do something to help those who are experiencing homelessness.
Yes, I totally understand that. And so, Amy, what was it like for you, or how did Audrey share this with you? And
well, it was funny because she was late coming out of Leadership Academy that day. I clearly remember, and I was thinking, gosh, where is she? And finally, her and Mr. Wiseman came out, and I went up to see what they were talking about, and I hear underwear, socks, and washcloths and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, what are they teaching at this academy? But it was great. And I thought maybe she would lose interest, but she literally came home, wouldn't eat lunch. Like, she just went and got a notepad and started right away. And even after the first drive, I thought maybe she would lose interest, but she had a really neat opportunity to meet an unsheltered homeless neighbor down in Pittsburgh. And I don't know if you want to say anything about that, Audge. It just sort of solidified what she wanted to do. But
yeah, I met this man, his name was Smitty, or that's like, that was his street name, I guess. And he was just so grateful, so kind. Like, I feel like we would all learn a thing or two from him. And he even like collected trash and stuff off the roads. He was just so grateful and just so happy and like positive, even though he was in a harder situation. And it just really, I feel like that really inspired me to keep going.
I can see why. So now here we are. Well, let me say that. Oh my goodness, right? Here we are. What is the mission of sucks with the mission.
So the mission is to become one of the largest provider for socks in the Pittsburgh area, and that would provide each of those who are experiencing homelessness at least like a couple pair of clean quality socks. And we would definitely want to expand that into like other states, and like we're already starting to get into like Ohio and West Virginia, but we definitely want to expand that.
Now, if people are wondering, how exactly does Socks with a Mission connect with all of these folks, you know, who are in need? How do you connect with them, and how do you get socks to those people who need them?
So we'll get our socks, of course, either from drives or from like our donations. And then usually we'll find like shelters or like other organizations that we can partner with to like get the socks to their shelters. And we have done some like, we have like partnered with some organizations that have like, that don't go to shelters and that they go straight into the streets. And we usually, like my mom will drive the socks in her car down to like wherever we're going, like sometimes in Pittsburgh or wherever we are going that day, and have like the socks in big boxes and stuff. And then we'll take them to the shelters to get to the homeless.
Wow. So Amy, what has that been like for you?
It's been a lot of fun. I mean, at first we really didn't have a lot of contacts in the community, you know, with homeless services, but we've just met so many great people just through, we cold call. You know, I have a real good friend, Debbie Wiles. She's a former CPA, and she helps us with our accounting, but she also helps us call places, and we find places, and we've just met so many great organizations that we didn't even know existed. So that's been pretty cool.
You were mentioning obviously some drives as a way that you get the socks. Do you want to tell me about some of maybe the recent drives that you've had?
Yeah, we had probably one of our most recent, the one that we did with the Bethel Police Station. And that brought in a lot of socks. We partnered that with, like, they did, like, with schools. They picked out, like, 7 schools. And if each school, like, got 100 socks, they'd get to meet the police dog, G's. And that was wonderful working with them.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, we got, from that drive, I think it was 3,214 pair. So the police department did an amazing job getting out there in the community. But it was ton of fun because Audrey got to really get to know the canine G's and his handler, Officer Jacobs. And it was a great community-wide effort. And it was humbling to see how many people supported the drive.
My gosh, over 3,200 pairs.
Yeah, it was our largest to date. Plum, drive. You want to talk about Plum? Now the Plum Rotary Club found us just doing a Google search, and they ended up collecting over 3,000 pairs as well in April. So March through April. So that was amazing too. We've just had a lot of really big drives right now.
Yeah. And like our living room and basement are just like filled with socks.
Oh. Yeah. We have them prepared for delivery.
Just a bunch of boxes.
Yeah. We got in maybe 8,000 pair over the past couple months, and I think we have all of them committed to go somewhere except for maybe 1,000. We're still working on it.
Yeah, and didn't we also have a recent drive with one of the school's trains?
Yes.
Yeah, we had a drive with one of the schools in, like, our township. Yeah.
One
of the elementary schools, and they brought in a lot of socks.
Yeah.
You know, for listeners who are thinking, okay, well, I want to help. I want to get involved. Where can I send, you know, what if I want to get socks, drop them off, send them? What kind of socks? What can you share with us about that?
So we do have like this little like mini drive thing that you can do on our website. And basically you can host like a drive in your community, where at like a church, a sports thing, whatever. And then you collect the socks and we all take them and distribute them. And that's one way that you can do it. Or we also have a donate like button on our website. And if you want to give us socks, we like white crease socks because those are easy to see if this is like a person who's living in a homeless shelter, then they can see if they have like cuts on their foot without having to take off their socks.
Yeah, we were told it's a medical preference, so that, you know, if they're dark socks, sometimes it's harder to monitor to see if people are having foot health issues. Because unfortunately, that was one of the things that I've learned so much through Audrey's involvement with this, is just how important socks are to people experiencing homelessness, just because foot health issues are so prevalent and they can be so severe. You can imagine if you didn't have proper footwear, you don't have socks you can change. You're walking miles every day just to get your basic necessities, and that can be in rain and snow. There's unfortunately a lot of health problems. So that is one, just not to, we kind of went off the rail there, but it is really important to know. A lot of people have that question of, why are you asking for white socks? Mm-hmm. We also ask for, but we will take any. Other thing is,
we also ask for like toddler socks and children socks and like woman socks, all different types of socks
too. Yeah, all different sizes. You know, crew socks in the winter are great for just warmth. But in the summer, we have a lot of places asking for ankle. Yeah, the biggest things are a drive. Anyone can do them, which is nice. And they can be any size, from 10 people to a whole community. And yeah, I guess that's about it, huh?
And you said this info is on your website, sockswithamission.org, right? Did I get it right? Woohoo! Yep. I'm going to say that I did see on there the information that you gave about how socks are the most requested item by homeless shelters, and some of the information, Amy, that you just shared about why they're so important. And so I encourage our listeners to make sure you check that part of the website out as well.
Yes, thank you.
Some info that that the listeners may not know, which is really important for those.
It is. It is. We also, Audrey and I have heard stories, you know, directly from Mr. Wiseman and other people, through different organizations. We've heard firsthand accounts of how appreciative people are of the socks. There was one man who started to cry and was rubbing them on his face because they were new and they were soft, and he hadn't received anything new in so long. So it's, I think we
it's
say.
It's really humbling. Yeah.
Yeah.
So great that we get this opportunity.
Yep.
We're grateful to the both of you, and Audrey, especially for you, especially at a younger age, for taking what Mr. Wiseman was talking about and, you know, having that switch goes off, like, wait a minute, I could help, and deciding to actually help. Now look at everything, all of the people you've helped already, and helping others to understand the need.
Yeah, thank you.
So thank you both, my goodness. And I was going to, I did want to ask you what your favorite part is. I think it's so hard to choose a favorite anything. I'm terrible at it. Someone asked me, what's your favorite? I'm like, I can give you five options. I can't choose one. But, is there a favorite part about all of this work, or, the people that you're meeting, or anything like that that stands out to you?
I would definitely say, getting this opportunity to do this. And, overall, it's hard to pick a favorite. But overall, just, getting to help these people and, meet some of these super great people like Smitty. It's really great that we get this opportunity.
Yeah. And for me, I'm just grateful to have the opportunity as well. And I should say too, we're very grateful to you, Tressa, to, be talking to you today and you giving us this opportunity. We do get to meet a lot of great people. And I think about, I'm a big, since I'm a Pittsburgher, I'm a big fan of Mr. Rogers. And I think of how he would say, look for the helpers in times of, distress. And over COVID and over the pandemic, that helped me to look for all the helpers and see how many people in Pittsburgh, our city, are helping other people and devoting their lives really to helping other people. So, during a time when there's a lot of fear and uncertainty, that's been my favorite part, is just knowing how many people are out there helping others and how much positivity there is.
Absolutely. And I, that's really the experience I'm having with this podcast. You know, I started it right wanting to get all of the good stuff out there and, you know, share people's stories about just, you know, things just in their own personal lives that people have done for them to make their life better, and expanding it to organizations like yours who are helping people. And it has been overwhelming, like in the best way.
Right.
I mean, just learn. And as exactly as you said, learning, and so many of these groups and people and organizations I hadn't known about, and just being so happy that there are so many,
right?
You know? And it's like, oh yeah. My gosh. With that said, though, I did want to ask, because you are a newer organization, obviously, and what are you finding are some of your, you know, or do you have your biggest challenge at this point? What's your biggest challenge?
I would say that, like, definitely, like, starting this in COVID-19, we can't do some of the stuff, like, have, like, big, like, public drives or, like, do drives, like, a lot of drives at schools, and that's been definitely hard. And, like, sometimes finding, like, organizations, other, like, homeless shelters, organizations to give the socks to, because since we are new, we have to really work on making the connections with other people.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think from the administrative side, you know, we've just grown so quickly. We went from distributing probably like 5,000 to 8,000 pairs last year to now in 2021, we will have, you know, by the end of May, distributed over 15,000 pairs of socks. So it is growing organically, and that has been fantastic. But, you know, we're just experiencing some of the challenges that any new, you know, 501c3 charity goes through, just getting their footing and getting their name out there. So again, we appreciate this opportunity.
Absolutely. And so if any of our listeners are thinking, oh, wait, I do have a connection to exactly what you're looking for, right? Organizations to connect with. How can they best get in touch with you?
They can visit our website, and my email and the phone number is on there. They are welcome to shoot us an email or give me a call. You know, we're happy. We not only give to organizations that are serving people experiencing homelessness, but we also include people who are experiencing financial insecurity or financial crisis or housing insecurity. So we are always open and looking for new people to help.
Yep.
I just have to, again, thank you both. And Audrey, it has been such a delight to get to meet you in this way. And I hope someday soon we'll get to meet in person, because that would be awesome.
Yes. Thank you so much for this.
You are so welcome. Again, thank you. You are doing great things already. And I look forward to, I mean, in the years to come, how many more great things you will do. And Amy, of course, encouraging her and supporting her and, you know, being in it and saying, yes, let's do this.
Yeah, well, thank you. And it'll be fun to see this generation, what they can accomplish, for sure, because they seem to see that if there's a need, you step in and fill it, which is really exciting to see.
Agreed. Well, hello, Don.
Hello, Tressa.
Are you ready for this?
I am ready for this.
Yeah. That could be the new theme for Name That Neighborhood.
I mean, but I've read it.
Yeah, but your version of doing it.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you again for joining us.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. So, I have 4 questions/statements of fact for you.
Okay.
Haha. And the neighborhoods from which you are choosing this day: Monroeville.
Mm-hmm.
And Zelianople.
Whoa. So,
hey.
Opposite sides of town.
Hey, there you go.
Okay.
I could give you want some credit for that, just knowing that they're opposite sides of town. I could do that for you.
Yeah, partial credit.
Well, let's do it then, shall we?
We shall.
Let's jump right in. Number one, Baron Detmar Bassi from Germany founded this neighborhood in 1802 and named it after his oldest daughter.
Zelenople.
Wow. And you were quick on that too.
Yeah, I had a hunch.
Yeah, you had a hunch. Well, hooray for your hunches.
You're gonna leave that one in?
I'm gonna leave that in. Yes. Okay. Let's learn more about it, shall we? Baron Detmar Bassi. That's just fun to say. He made his way over, as we said, in 1802, really, is when he founded Zelenople. His oldest daughter, who was known as Zeli, and of course, using that Greek word for city, polis, hence, eventually, Zelenople. What happened was, so upon his arrival, he actually bought 10,000 acres in Butler and Beaver counties, and he built a house there, which he referred to as Bassenheim, which means Bass's home. And it was a three-story wooden castle, really. It had towers and turrets. But he also established a sawmill, a brickyard, an iron furnace. So pretty much, laying out a town, right? The beginnings of this town. And so his daughter, Zeli, was still in Germany. And she was engaged. And he agreed to give the old okay on the marriage if they would come to America. And indeed they did. So, they got married. They arrived in Zelenople in 1807, and they actually stayed at Bassenheim until their personal quarters were built on Main Street. And later, just a little footnote here, the Bassenheim unfortunately was destroyed by fire, but many decades later.
Wow.
Yeah, there it is, Baron Detmar Bassi.
Mm-hmm. Ye old Zeli. We still call it Zeli.
See? How about that?
How about it?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, German, first name of a girl, not going to be Monroe, I don't think.
Yes, well, that's exactly. Well played.
Yeah.
Well, one for one. Let's go for the second, shall we? Located on the Northern Pike in this neighborhood, the Rising Sun Inn got its name from stagecoach drivers who, when leaving the inn in the early morning hours and heading east, would find themselves driving directly into the sun.
Monroeville.
I'm so proud of you. Yes, sir, Monroeville. We're heading back here to the stagecoach days. And, oh, and actually, a note here, the Northern Pike was completed from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh in 1807, okay, to give us an idea. And that was major, sometimes, you know, kind of referred to as the granddaddy of highways at the time. It was a big deal. And so, so here we are with the stagecoaches, and of course, folks are using that Northern Pike. And horses actually had to be changed every 10 miles or so. And since Monroeville was right on that Northern Pike, it was perfect for a relay station. And so a man by the name of Abraham Taylor noticed all of the drivers, the travelers waiting for their horses to be changed over. And he thought, well, I bet they could use a drink or perhaps a bite to eat while they're waiting. Those are not his actual thoughts, or maybe they were. That's my interpretation of what he may have been thinking.
Sure.
And so...
A dramatization of historical fact.
Thank you. Thank you, yes. And so in 1827, he built the inn and a barn near the Pike's toll gate right there. And so apparently, as stagecoaches would approach the inn, the driver would sound a little horn, letting the innkeeper know that meals would be needed. And I love that. I love where the name comes from, and that name that it came to be known as the Rising Sun Inn, after the drivers would always comment on the sun being in their eyes.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Well said, John. Well said. Well, I mean, let's go for a third, because we can.
Sure.
The Passavant House is the oldest existing house in this neighborhood, having been built in 1809 by Philip Passavant.
Well,
I hear birds chirping behind you. That's delightful.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the outdoors. I don't know. I'm going to go with Monroeville.
I am a little happy that we got to hear the sound. Philip Passavant. Now, I also want to say this. Those familiar with the North Hills would be familiar with Passavant Hospital, which I did not realize. I did not know this connection.
I would not.
From that area. Yeah.
I know Passavant Hospital, and I would not. Yeah. I did not connect those two things.
Yeah. So Philip Passavant actually became the town's first merchant when he built a general store on Main Street, and he managed that store for 41 years, eventually passing it along to his son, C.D. Passavant. And in 1809, he built his home, and it was 2.5 stories. It had bay windows, and he built it right next to his store. And then additions later came. So there was a 2-story frame addition. Then much later in 1915, a 2-story addition and a porch were all built. And this house stayed in the family until his granddaughter, Emma Passavant, died in 1956. And since 1975, Passavant House has been owned by the Zelianople Historical Society and is operated as the society's headquarters, library, and museum. And now it contains a large collection of, you know, furniture, household, personal items, clothing from the Passavant family, much of it dating back to this early, early period that we're talking about. But I have to say, I buried the lead a little.
Did you now?
I did. Philip arrived in Zelianople in 1807 with his wife, Zeli.
Oh, my.
It's true. He actually came over and was the son-in-law of the Baron. And when they were staying in the Bassenheim, they were waiting for that house that he was building. That is that Passavant House that we're talking about.
Oh, my God. It's like an M. Night Shyamalan twist.
It totally is. It's exactly where I got my inspiration. Thank you for noticing that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Passavants became a big deal. Obviously, Passavant Hospital, it became this philanthropic family also. Well, let's go for number 4. I feel good about this for you.
Sure.
Okay. In 2019, the National Science Foundation, or the NSF, awarded a $10 million grant to fund the construction of a new supercomputer at the Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center, located in this neighborhood.
Monroeville.
Hey, you are correct. It's true. So yeah, there's a Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center. And
no idea. I had no idea that existed.
I didn't either. According to the center's website, it is a joint computational research center run by Carnegie Mellon University and the University of Pittsburgh. And so what the NSF's grant was for, it is for this new supercomputer that's known as the Bridges 2 project. And actually it was just approved in 2021 by the NSF for production operations after they had been working on it. And Hewlett-Packard Enterprise will also partner with the center on this. And this supercomputer is apparently about 29,000 times faster than a top-end laptop.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fast.
Yeah. It's super fast. Wow, that's one of your jokes.
I know.
Well, that, hey, 3 for 4.
Yeah. Hey, wasn't the original name of the project Bridges to Electric Boogaloo?
You know what? Let me get right on that. Let me get right on that. Don, as always, thank you.
You're welcome.
And we will. Now, Don, we have had a listener throw her hat in the ring for Name That Neighborhood. So I know this saddens you, but you will not be joining us next episode.
Wow.
But we will be thinking of you fondly.
And I will be rooting for your listener to carry on the tradition and fare better than I did this day.
Thank you so much, Don.
You're welcome.
And that is going to just about do it for us here. I want to thank Audrey and Amy Wetterau again for the wonderful conversation and for all the work that you're doing. And again, listeners, remember www.sockswithamission.org to learn more, to help them out if you'd like, to donate if you'd like. Please be sure to do that. And again, this drops on May 21st, which is the day, apparently, that Audrey will be getting Stan the horse. So Audrey, I hope that all of that went well, and I hope to hear more about Stan. And for all of you who would, of course, like to share your stories like Mike and Cookie and Sarah did with us for this episode, you know the number, 833-399-GOOD. I'd love to hear your voices, and not just mine. No, and you send an email to yinsaregood@gmail.com. And so until next time, my friends, be safe, be kind, be good. Special thank yous going out to Hazel, the Bloomfield Saturday Market, Don DiGiulio, and as always, for our most fabulous artwork, Mike Rubino.